Hi, you have reached Professor Chaim Shor podcast. In this episode, you shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Exodus 23:19. Why?
Thou shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Exodus 23:19. Why? This verse appears three times in the Bible. Additionally, in Exodus 34:26, Deuteronomy 14:21. The verse serves cornerstone for a large portion of Jewish dietary kosher laws regarding cooking and eating, which forbid mixing together meat with dairy products. Jewish kosher laws are setting them apart from all other peoples of the world, including followers of Islam, which comes closest to the Jewish kosher rules. What is the logic behind this seemingly nonsensical fundamental tenet of Jewish way of life? The succinct answer is this. Judaism is extremely strict about total separation of life from death. And whenever an eventuality may occur, that life and death may even remotely overlap or intermingle, a tall separating wall is constructed in Jewish law to ensure that this never happens. In that sense, kashrut laws are just one instance in a sea of likewise Jewish laws, aimed to ensure that a Jew, strictly pursuing Moses' law, never be exposed to scenarios where life and death accidentally intermingle. The origin for this total and strict separation is probably best articulated in the divine commandment, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call this day to witness against you the heaven and the earth. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. And this choice of life over death requires that strict separation between the two be maintained in all walks of life. This is repeatedly evidenced in numerous Jewish laws, as we shall soon elaborate on. Why eating meat with dairy products, with no time separation between the two, implies intermingling of life and death? The answer is straightforward. Eating meat is the result of killing an animal. This means death. Dairy products are derived from milk, originally created to assist life, namely, the growth of the just born. This means, well, life. Therefore, meat and dairy, associated with death and life, respectively, cannot be mixed and concurrently consumed. We note here that killing animals, in order to eat their meat, had been permitted by the divine only after Noah's flood, because, Genesis 8:21. The impulse of man's heart is evil from his youth. Following Noah's own initiative to sacrifice some of the animals that kept him company just now, for the last 150 flood days, Genesis 8:20, God concludes that the impulse of man's heart is evil. Consequently, a permit is now granted, Genesis 9:3. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, as green herb have I given you all. Where else do we see the same underlying principle of Jewish life, total separation of life from death, so that one may more easily be led to choose life that both you and your seed may live? Here are some examples. Example 1. Genesis 9:4. But flesh with its life, which is its blood, you shall not eat. This requires, by kashrut laws, washing away all traces of blood from the meat prior to cooking. Likewise, by kashrut laws, an egg with stains of blood is forbidden, not edible. Example 2. A Jewish cemetery is surrounded all around by a tall wall, strictly and explicitly separating the living from the dead. And, when a Jew leaves the cemetery, he washes his hands, demonstrating symbolically, and stating in no unclear terms, that spiritually no traces of the dead remain on his body when he departs the cemetery. Example 3. There is a set time for a mourning period, Shiva. This ensures that subsequently the deceased would not, psychologically and spiritually, intervene with the living. Example 4. Judaism strictly forbids contacting the dead via spiritualistic conferences. The living are not supposed to talk to the dead. Leviticus 20:27. A man or a woman that is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stone, their blood guiltiness is upon them. Example 5. A woman at the end of her menstrual cycle is forbidden sexual contact with her spouse. Menstrual period marks life potential not realized, the departure process of a potential life-generating egg, not consumed, now dead. Conversely, sexual contact is associated with live sperm, marking potential for generating life. Therefore, the two, menstrual period and sexual contact, are strictly forbidden from unholy mixture via time concurrency. Leviticus 18:19. Also thou shalt not approach to a woman in the impurity of her menstrual flow to uncover her nakedness. All these examples, regarding Jewish living in accord with Moses' law, point to a deeper principle, prevalent throughout the Jewish faith. Everything that one thinks and speaks, orally or by other means, everything that one does, our behavior in its totality, these are all spiritually meaningful. They have a spiritual effect on our soul, and they ultimately return like a boomerang to affect our lives, favorably or otherwise. In Hebrew, the arbitrary, seemingly meaningless word, thing, is davar. The word derives from the same root as to speak, ledaber. All that we encounter in life speak to us. No thing, davar, is insignificant. Jewish laws, like thou shalt not boil a kid in its mother's milk, at first looking arbitrary, devoid of any rational justification, these laws now acquire a new very deep meaning. We realize that violation of these laws, implying intermingling of life and death in our everyday life, may adversely affect our spiritual well-being. Ultimately, this would also be affecting our well-being physically.
Thank you for listening. Until the next episode. Goodbye.